Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And let us pray, O Lord, send forth your word into our ears, that it may bear fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Confirmation Sunday. Special day. It's one that I hope you'll remember for many years. I still remember parts of my Confirmation Sunday back in 1996. I remember the white robe and the flower, just like you're wearing today. I remember the taste of First Communion wine. Maybe it's more accurate to say I remember the significant glances the kids in my class gave each other after communion, trying to figure out what each one thought about the taste of the wine. I remember I got a set of golf clubs and some lessons. I also remember I got in a little bit of trouble for going to the mall and spending most of my confirmation money on CDs and a Pistons jersey. Don't know what your memories of today will be, but I hope they're good ones, and I hope they stick with you a long time. I bet the Apostle Paul had some pretty significant memories of the day he became Christian. Those memories stuck with him a long time. We just heard the familiar story a few minutes ago. Once a great enemy of the gospel, he was confronted on the road to Damascus by Jesus himself, lost his eyesight for 3 days. And then filled with the Holy Spirit, after something like scales fell from his eyes, he regained his sight and immediately proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues. And he increased in strength, and he confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. You talk about transformation. That's the stuff movies are made of. And I'm sure it's events that Paul never forgot, even to the day of his death. But here's the thing about what's happening for you confirmants today. See, today is not the day you become a Christian. No, that happened for you many days ago. And the thing about your becoming Christian, your conversion into our Lord's church, is that it was no less miraculous for you than it was for the Apostle Paul. It might not have looked that way to the outward eyes of those in attendance, to the people watching, to your parents and your grandparents, to your aunts and your uncles and your friends, and to anyone else who happened to be in the church that day. To them, it looked like a pastor splashed some water on your forehead and said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." But make no mistake about it. In that moment, God was doing something miraculous in you. You were changed that day, just as much as Saul was changed on the road to Damascus. In your baptism, our Lord was putting to death the old Adam in you with all its sins and evil desires, and bringing forth a new creation to live before him in righteousness and purity forever. On the day of your baptism, it wasn't just water put on your forehead. It was God's name. He claimed you as his own. He brought you into his family. That's when you became a Christian. That's when you became a member of our Lord's church, on the day that he claimed you. So pay attention to the questions that I'll ask you and that you'll answer in just a few minutes. They'll sound an awful lot like the questions that get asked at a baptism. Do you renounce the devil? Do you renounce his works? Do you renounce his ways? That's because the questions you're going to be asked today are the exact same questions that get asked at a baptism. At your baptism, you were too young to speak for yourself. So your sponsors and your parents and all the people of God answered for you. Today, you answer those same questions for yourself. But today doesn't complete your baptism. It's not like you'll be more Christian at noon than you were when you got up this morning. Well, today is a chance for you to publicly acknowledge and to take responsibility for the reality that has been your identity all along. You are a baptized child of God. You belong to him. And today you declare publicly that you want to stay that way, that you intend to hear the word of God and to receive the supper faithfully, even when your parents stop waking you up on Sunday morning to drive you to church, that you intend to live according to the word of God in faith, word, and deed, even when you're old enough that you're in charge of your own schedule, that you intend to continue steadfast in the confession and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it, no matter where life takes you. And then after you make these promises, I'll speak the exact same blessing over you today that was spoken over you at your baptism. Because it's your baptism, not your confirmation, that makes you a child of God. And it's through your baptism that the Almighty God, who has given you the new birth of water and spirit, has promised to strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. But as every adult in this room can attest, confessing your faith today, that's the easy part. You might be nervous to stand up in front of a room full of people, but I promise you, today is the easy part. The hard part is living in that confession when today is done. Living in that confession when you go back to school tomorrow, or in high school, or in college, or beyond. The hard part is living as a child of God when the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh fight it at every turn. For even though we confess the faith and believe God's word, as Luther says, the sinful flesh is lazy and inclined to evil. And this world? Well, the world is fallen. It's wicked. It's full of temptation. It's full of tragedy that seeks to undermine our faith. And there's the devil in the background, pulling all the strings, working through the world to place stumbling blocks in your path. So what do you do when life gets difficult? What do you do when life puts daily temptations before your face? What do you do when you give in to those temptations? What do you do when all hope seems lost? What are any of us to do? Well, we do what you're doing today. We return to our baptism. The choices that we make in our Christian lives are important. They should not be overlooked. But our confidence is in our baptism. Our hope is in what our Lord does for us, not how we live for him. We strive to live for him, but we never measure up. We fall short and we fall away. Like the Apostle Peter in the courtyard of the high priest, we will deny our Lord. We deny him with our words, deny him with our actions. But Jesus restored Peter. And just like Jesus restored him on the seas of Tiberias, so also he forgives and he restores us. He sat with Peter overlooking the water of the sea, spoke words of forgiveness, and he sits with us overlooking the water of the baptismal font, and he speaks words of forgiveness. Because he's always loving us, always forgiving us, always restoring us, and always sending us back out to live as his salt and as his light. That's what you're committing to today. Not to a life of perfection, but to a life of being restored by Jesus. Never turning his back on the gifts that he has given you. So no, today is not the day you become a Christian. Jesus did that for you years ago. Neither is it the day you graduate from the study of our Lord's word, as if you've somehow learned everything there is to know. If anything, today indicates that not only is Jesus the one who started your Christian life, he's the one who will sustain you in it. Those are the promises you make today. You might not be able to create faith in your own heart, but you can come to the services of the Lord's house. You can have your sins forgiven. You can hear the word of God and receive the supper faithfully. You can so order your life that it's never apart from the gifts that God gives, never lived apart from the body of Christ. Jesus is the one who will support you and sustain you, but he does it through his church, through the gifts and through the people. The other people sitting in this room with you today. The people at whatever church you attend when you grow up, wherever you end up living in life. So don't walk away from that gift. Jesus will sustain you through the proclamation of his gospel, through the bread and wine of his supper, so don't turn your back on them. But above all, remember that you are a baptized child of God, and he will never turn his back on you. That was true on the day of your baptism. It's true on this day of your confirmation, and it will be true until the day of his return. So may he who has begun this good work in you bring it to fulfillment in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.